thankful your people are in presence here today. Father God, they could have been anywhere else, but they need a word from you. We need a word from you. Without a word from you, Father God, what would we do?
Yes.
Father God, so we ask right now that you let your word go forth with power and with might right now. Father God, let this be a rhema word. Tailor-made, fit for the circumstance and situation for which your people are going through at this present time.
Yes,
Father God, use me in spite of me. Hide me behind the cross. I am nothing without unless you come through and do this, oh Father God. I'm unable to decipher or exegete the text by myself. So I ask you to allow your Holy Spirit to exhibit his perfect teaching and preaching ministry right now in the name of Jesus, bind Satan, oh Father God, as he goes to and fro, trying to snatch the word of knowledge away from your people. So, Father God, give us clarity of understanding. Draw back the draperies of misunderstanding right now. Make this word simple enough so that a child can understand it.
Yes.
And whatever's accomplished in this setting, O Heavenly Father, we'll be careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. Speak, Lord, for your people hear it. God's going to say Mark chapter 16, beginning at the 4th verse. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. They were afraid. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. Be not afraid. Ye see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Oh my God. That he goeth before you into Galilee. Mm-hmm. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. I like to put a tag on this text, so you'll be able to remember this text. This third Sunday in November. Hello, somebody.
Amen.
When you made a big mistake.
All right.
When you made a big mistake, take your seats in the presence of the Lord. I want to start this sermonic. Thank you, brother. I want to start this sermonic presentation by saying something very familiar and well known to you. But I feel I can say it without any fear of contradiction. And that is simply a reminder, God can change anybody.
Yes, amen.
Regardless of who you've been, how long you have been struggling with an issue of your life. The reality is, though through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the presence of the blood of Jesus Christ, there is nothing about your life that cannot be changed to align itself with the will of God.
Yes.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
No matter how deep the habit, no matter how long term you have been doing what you have been doing, I want you to know that change is possible.
Yes.
Change is not easy. Let's not get it twisted.
Right.
Let's not make it simple. It is not easy to make subsistent, significant, and sincere changes in your life. When you have been doing something a long time, it is hard to let that go. So looking at some of those challenges to change, what to do when you're surrounded by people who don't believe in your capacity to change. How you stay committed to a change when you realize there's a danger, Jesus says, in going back to something that the Lord has pulled you out of. How you must believe in the possibility of change because you were freed by the blood of Jesus from the penalty, the power, and one day even the presence of sin. My prayer is that through this message and sermon, that the Holy Spirit convicts your heart and mind about some changes you need to make in your life. Yes, believe it or not, there are some things about you that are displeasing to God.
Yes.
Y'all, amen. Let's get kind of quiet. I know that may be a new shocker for you. You thought that everything was fine and dandy. But all of us have some areas, some issues, and some character flaws that need to be worked out by the power of God. Yes. If you know that you need to make a change in some area of your life, just raise your hand. Don't be scared.
Come on.
That's right.
Yes.
You know that there are some things about me that God wants me to change.
Amen.
Amen. My prayer is that you will be committed to making the changes. You come to the end of the year, that New Year's resolution you made at the beginning of the year, you still got it. You still ain't done nothing about it yet. I suggest to you, no matter what kind of commitment you make to change, the reality is, some point along the road, you are going to stumble. At some point, you are going to fail to do what you committed to do. I don't mean to be prophetic. I don't mean to prophesy doom on you. I don't mean to say that you can't do it. But human nature is this. Every time I desire to do good, evil is always present. At some point, you're going to make a mistake in your journey to try to draw closer to Jesus Christ. Somebody should just say amen to that.
Amen.
Because you know that it is the reality of life.
Yes.
That we make mistakes even when we are trying to do right.
Yes. Yes.
That is why I'm so glad we have Peter in Scripture.
Yes.
Who gives us an example of what to do when you make a significant mistake. Beloved, you all know Peter. If you have read your Bible at all, you know Peter is the valedictorian of this class of disciples.
Amen.
He is quite arguably the closest to Jesus. It is Peter who receives the word from God who Jesus is. When Jesus asks the question about his Christology, identity, it is then Jesus who promises Peter, revelation, that he would hold the keys to the kingdom of God. Peter arguably has the greatest possibility and potential of all the disciples mixed together. There's nobody like Peter. He is outspoken. He is a leader. He is at the top of his class. But you all know the whole story of Peter. Despite his promise and possibility, Peter also makes a huge mistake.
Yes. Yes.
For during the trial of Jesus, this Peter, this valedictorian of his class, denies that he knows Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. I will suggest to you that Peter's threefold denial of Jesus makes what Peter does to Jesus almost worse than what Judas did.
Jesus.
Judas betrayed him. But I'm certain if Judas had been given another chance, he would have done things differently than he had the first time.
Yes.
Peter denies that he knows Jesus. Gets another chance and messes it up. Now, I know this is not for everybody, but there are a couple of us in here knows what it's like to stumble on the same issue time and time and time again.
Yes.
Now, this is not for the super sanctified, Elaine, on your pew, but there are some of us who know that we have been in a place where we told the Lord that we would never do that again.
Come on now.
And at the very next time it came up, there you were again. And you promised God, I will not do it again. And the next time it came up, you did it again. You know what it's like to stumble over something time and time and time again?
Yes.
And the Bible says in Mark chapter 14, this Peter who has stumbled time and time again made the same mistake over and over and over. When he realizes what he has done, he weeps bitterly. Because when you struggle with something time and again, and you know what it is like to fall and fail and make a change, you know what it's like to be committed and yet still make a mistake time and time again, you will find that when you get in that way, the enemy will try to convince you that you can't change by working on you with two real things.
My Lord.
Oh, you can write this down. Two real things. Can I preach and teach it, y'all?
Yes.
Real quick. I ain't trying to keep y'all long because y'all cold.
Yes.
That when you have stumbled time and again, there are two things the devil uses to try to keep you from moving forward. The first is a guilty conscience.
Yes. Yes.
How many people here know conscience can wear you out?
Yes. Yes. Yes, they can.
Conscience can wear you out.
Yes, it can.
A guilty conscience will wake you up in the middle of the night.
Oh,
yeah. A guilty conscience will ruin a good time when you're in the midst of having a good time.
Yes,
a guilty conscience can mess up your worship.
Yes, yes.
When you are in church trying to get right with the Lord and an ex sin walks in. You know what it's like.
Yes, sir.
The amazing thing is when Peter denies Jesus, the other disciples don't know it.
Right.
Follow the pastor. They're not around to see what Peter has done.
Uh-huh.
They don't know about it.
Yes.
Because it's not the stuff, Angela, that people know that wears you out. It's the ones you have to keep hitting. Let me give you this in Facebook form. Secret sins suffocate saints.
Yes. Yes.
Secret sins suffocate saints. It is the stuff that you have to keep under wraps and keep hidden and act like it never happened that will wear on your conscience.
Yes, it will.
Which is why the Bible says it is good to confess every now and again.
Yes.
Because it's some stuff you have to get out in the open. Because the longer you try to live with the secret, the more it suffocates you.
Yes, it does.
The devil tries to keep you from changing with a guilty conscience. And if the guilty conscience does not get you, guess what else he does, y'all? Here we go. The fear of the consequence of your sin.
Yes.
The fear of the consequence of your sin. Notice, Peter makes a mistake in a moment in one night that would change his life forever. You ever been there? Where one bad decision, one lapse in sound judgment, one angry outburst, one drink too much changed the direction of your life forever?
Amen.
Now here's Peter warning. What would be the result of the mistake I have made? What would happen now that I have failed Jesus? What's going to go down? How is God going to punish me for what I have done? Mm-hmm. While this Peter is dealing with his mistake, watch me, Deacon Drake. The Bible says some women go to the tomb.
Yes.
To find out that Jesus has been resurrected from the dead.
Uh-huh.
And while they're there, an angel comes to speak to them. I would suggest to you that the angel gives them a message to give to Peter that's going to help Peter get back on his feet. Are y'all ready to scripture like that, huh?
Yes.
Watch this. Watch the message. Those angels come and they say something to the women that they want the women to pass to Peter. To help Peter know he can live on the other side of a mistake that he has made.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Even though it may change his life, even though it will alter the direction of your days, even though it may scar you for the rest of your life, the angel says some words to the women that I want you to pass to you that will help you recover when you have made a significant mistake in your life.
Yes, yes.
The angel simply says these words to them. And Peter. I know that sounds so simple in verse 7 that you can't even figure out how a sermon would come out of that. Watch this. I wanted to make this a short man, so let me give this to you all real quick. Mm-hmm. And Peter, they tell the women, listen, go tell the disciples and Peter to meet Jesus in Galilee.
Yes. Yes.
Church, say, and Peter.
And Peter.
Those two words give us three things we can hang our hat and our hope on. Mm-hmm. Whenever you have made a significant stumble in life, when you have made a sure enough mistake,
yes,
when you got some stuff that is threatening your future, there are three things,
yes,
you need to take out of that phrase, and Peter.
All right.
Help your child teach it, Lord.
Yes.
The very first thing I would suggest you is this. The term and Peter means this, that my calling isn't canceled when I've made a mistake. I'm loving this thing. I've been there, Deacon Drake. When you feel something you did, I've already called to do what I'm called to do. But it says, my calling hasn't canceled when I make a mistake. Watch what the angel says. Tell the disciples and Peter. The problem with that is, the last time I checked, Peter was a disciple.
That's right. Jesus.
So it would make more sense, tell the disciples. To use the term and Peter suggests somehow or another that Peter ain't with the disciples no more. But hey, I'm in there now. This is good stuff, boy. Boy, what I gotta tell you, Sister Mother. Ooh. Y'all not feeling me. If I send an email saying tell New Jerusalem deacons and Peter Drayton, it suggests he is not a deacon any longer.
That's right.
Because I will not have to add his name to something that he's already a part of. Y'all with me? So when the angel says, tell the disciples and Peter, something has happened, Sister Martha. Peter's not running with the disciples anymore. And now, if that is the case, it went down one or two ways. If that's the case, it went down one or two ways. Because I know church folk. Maybe the disciples find out what Peter had done. And decided Peter's no longer welcome to hang out with them. Because that is what religious folk do. Isn't it amazing how religious people can get as holy and sanctified and self-righteous when they know of your stuff? Now they feel they can judge you because they make themselves feel better relative to you. Let me tell you something. Righteousness is not relative.
That's right.
You can't make yourself feel better because you think somebody else has done worse than you have.
Right.
The church is a body of baptized believers.
Yes.
It's not a place for perfect saints. I told you I'm trying to get my message. It is a reunion for those who have fallen. It's not just for the holy and the righteous. It is for the saved and the struggling. It's not just for those who read Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. But for the rest of us who know we are trying to get right. But sometimes we don't get it right. And I need a place where I can be accepted and not judged for what I have done. Maybe the disciples have gotten away from Peter. Or even more problematic, Peter has decided to disassociate himself from the disciples. We do that too. Because our own guilty conscience, we won't come to church. Nobody knows what you did. We don't care what you did. You've been hanging out, sleeping with whoever. We don't care. Bring in your bed, and we don't care what you're doing, who you doing. No, we just want you to come to church so we all can get ourselves right. What you talking about, man? Because when you feel guilty, Deacon Drayton, you feel unworthy. And so you stop coming around and stop worshiping and showing up on Sundays. And every time y'all see people don't come to church, it's not because pastor did anything. No, they got their own stuff going. We don't know what it is, but guess what? They can't sit and raise holy hands. When you got your stuff going on, that's the time you ought to be in church. I say it all the time. The church is a Holy Ghost hospital, but sick people ought to be able to come and get well. You got it twisted. You think it's the perfect place. The devil is alive. You stop coming on Sunday because you feel you're not worthy to worship God. Let me help you. If only people who are worthy could get into church on Sunday, your entire pew, the entire section, all the choir staff, including the pulpit, would be empty.
Yes.
Because nobody is worthy. But we are here because the Lord said, if you are struggling, you need to be in the house of God. If you have fallen, you need to worship God. You need to be in God's house. The angels say the reason Peter can't hook back up with the south is all of you are going to see, all of you are going to see Jesus. All of y'all are going to see Jesus. Y'all need him.
Yes, sir.
Peter do too.
Yes, sir.
What a word. The qualification for belonging is not a perfect pass, but a hungry heart.
Yes.
Y'all got me here?
Yes.
What the Lord wants is not a spotless resume, but a heart that hungers to draw closer to the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
So in this moment, when you make a mistake, the question is not what you've done. The question is, what is the desire of your heart right now?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
What your heart want right now? We know he knows what you've done, what you want right now.
Yes,
yes. Yesterday is gone.
Yes.
What do you want right now?
Yes.
If you tell me you are here because you want to draw closer to the Lord, you're in the right place.
Yes.
If you're here because your heart is heavy or what happened, you're in the right place.
Yes.
If you're here because you want to worship God in spirit and in truth, and you hunger to be what God has called you to be, even though you were not that yesterday, God says that is all I need, is to know you want to do the right thing.
Yes.
Am I helping somebody?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
This ought to free y'all. Y'all be happy.
Because
yes. I don't care what you did yesterday.
Right.
I don't know what you want right now.
Yes.
God said, what I died for, Sister Muffin, I died for what you did yesterday, today, and forever. I got an everlasting blood. Get power in the blood of Jesus. Matter of fact, God called you to do what he called you to do. He know you was raving. He know you weren't going to keep no commitment. He know he couldn't trust you to do nothing. That's why he called you. Then we try to make us think, you can't do that because blah, blah. The devil's a lie. No, I guess what? I hung up with her, but I'm going to come see Jesus today.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm going to get this right. I'm going to try to get it right, Sister Muffin.
Yes.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because guess what? A charge to keep we have and a God to glorify.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
God says, that's all I need from you. You know what you want right now. It's to know you want to do the right thing. Your heart's desire matters more than your past record.
Yes, Lord.
What do you want right now, he says, and Peter to let him know his calling as a disciple has not been canceled.
Yes, right.
He says, and Peter to also let them know that this. And I want more. God is going to perform what he had promised.
Yes.
That's what it means to. God is going to do what you. What would God got ready to do that is not predicated upon me and you?
That's right.
Because if it's predicated upon me and you, his kingdom will never be built.
That's right.
Anybody want to show up? Anybody want to come to choir rehearsal? Anybody want to show up usher boy? Anybody want to come to church? So what? Get yourself. You need to get yourself out of that mindset. Because guess what? God's kingdom is built. By God.
Yes.
My daddy used to preach right out of the book. He said, God is not a respecter of persons.
Yes, that's right.
He said he'll use it. He said, as best. He said he used an ass to speak.
Yes.
You ain't special.
Thank you.
Matter of fact, you speeding up the work of the church faster because you got this separatist attitude like it's all about you.
Yes.
You speeding up the work because you'll come here one day, you won't find a seat.
Yes. Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
reason I shout when you heard the term and Peter is because some of y'all don't remember. Peter's not, watch fast now, walk with me, watch this. Okay. Peter's not what his mama named him. That ain't what his mama didn't call him Peter. Watch this. Help me, Lord. His mama named him Simon.
That's right.
The angel calls him Peter.
Yes.
Let me have y'all into the shout since y'all don't know the shout. Y'all missing this. You have to go back to your childhood days.
Yes.
Go back to your childhood days. Well, when your mother calls you, the name she used lets you know what the conversation is going to be like. What you say? My mommy had several names for me. Depending on the name, let me know what was going to go down. Now, she said, Rune, that's short for Jerome, my middle name.
Right.
Everybody call me Rune when they're loving on me.
Yes.
I know she's going to be loving on me. But since the mama, she said, Warren Jerome Clark. They let me know how the conversation was going to go down. When the angel speaks and tell Peter does not call him Simon, calls him Peter, the reason is that it's important if you need to recognize when he's called Simon, when he is called Peter.
Yes.
It is the difference.
Yes.
Let me take y'all to the word right quick.
Yes.
When Jesus predicts in Luke chapter 22 that he would deny him, he calls him Simon. When he pulls out a sword and cuts off Malachi's ear in the garden, his name was Simon.
Simon.
Jesus.
That's the mental
name.
Come on
now. Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes. Praise his name. Preach fast.
When he fell asleep in the garden, when Jesus needed him to pray, Jesus called him Simon.
Yes.
But when he had divine revelation of who Jesus was, the Lord does not call him Simon.
Yes.
The Lord looks at him and says, Peter, flesh and blood is not revealed this unto you. What you say? But my Father which is in heaven, he called him Peter. Peter is the name of possibility.
Yes.
Peter is the name of future potential.
Yes.
Peter is the name that says good things are on your way.
Yes.
When the angel calls on Peter, he wants him to know, when God looks at you, God does not define you based on your mistake.
Yes.
God defines you on the possibility and the potential that he put in your life. Tell yourself, the Lord does not call me what I was. The Lord looks at me and defines me as what I shall be. I'm more than the mistake I made. I'm more than the sin I committed. I'm more than the fault I felt. But I have a God who looks at me and calls me more than what I am. Angel says, tell Peter, watch this, tell Peter to go and meet Jesus in Galilee, where Jesus said he was going to be. You have to remember, in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus told them, after I arise from the dead, I will meet you in Galilee. So here it is, tell Peter to go to Galilee, because Jesus is going to do what he said he was going to do. He promised to meet you in Galilee. And even though you have fallen, he, Jesus, is still faithful.
Yes, he is.
Amen.
Thank you.
I preached to myself.
Come on.
Even when I have not been what I should have been and didn't do what I should have done, I didn't live how I should have lived. We have a God who does not change and said, no matter what you have done, I'm still going
to
perform what I promised in your life.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
tell you why this is so important. When you have made a major mistake in life, you tend to disqualify yourself from God's goodness.
Yes.
And therefore, you begin to think there's no reason to try because it's not going to do it any longer. You're not going to, because he's not going to do it any longer. No. Because the Lord knows the mistake you have made.
Yes.
I stopped by this morning to tell y'all that the devil is a lie.
Well,
that God is so faithful that even when you have fallen, God is going to do what he said he was going to do. Can I push the point a little bit here?
Yes.
Let me push this thing a little bit. God says, tell Peter, wherever he is in his mistake, stop hanging out there.
Amen.
And go to the place where he would see the promise that Jesus said.
I want
you to get out of your mistakes of yesterday.
Yes.
Get out of it. You don't have to make no New Year's resolution. You got to just get out of the mistakes you made yesterday. Get out. God done with you, Dad. God know you did it. This is a new day.
Thank
you, Lord. Now you need to start walking to the place where you just believe God is still going to do what God said he was going to do. He is still going to disarm every weapon that is formed against you.
Yes.
He's still going to take your midnight morning and turn it into joy.
Yes.
God is still going to meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory. God is still going to work all things together for your good. God is still going to walk with you through the valley of shadow of death because God is faithful.
Yes.
I have fallen. I made a mistake, but God is still going to perform what he has been promised. My calling has not been canceled. And finally, when you have made a mistake and you want what you want to do, let him go. I'm going to get out your way because y'all ain't liking me. Sister Fia, trust and believe that all of your faults can be forgiven.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
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 Don't let the enemy fool you into thinking because you have done it over and over and over again that God will not forgive you.
Yes.
Because when you start believing that, you will not go to God and confess it.
That's it.
Here's how the devil works in your mind. There's no need to tell God you are not going to do it again. You know you is. And as a result, you don't go to God, to the Lord. Here's what Jesus said. Tell Peter, I know what he did. But I want him to come to me. Listen, y'all. I want him to come to me. Oh, Jesus. I know how often he has done it. I want him to come to me. I know you are not perfect. I want you to come to me. Watch this, church. This is a good and this is good and so deep. Jesus told Peter in Luke 22, I know what you're going to do before you do it. When I called you, I knew you were going to fall. But I want you to come to me. I want you to confess and know whatever you have done, it can be forgiven. How does the Lord forgive him? Peter failed him on Friday.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
This message was given on Sunday to him.
That's
going to get me happy. In case y'all forgotten what happened between Friday and Sunday, don't let me be like a Baptist preacher.
Go ahead.
That he died.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Did he die?
Yes, he did.
But sometime early on Sunday
morning,
he rose from the dead. And because he rose, all of my sins can be forgiven. I'm done. I'm getting out of here. Y'all trying to make me preach like a Baptist preacher. Don't let the devil make you think that anything you have done cannot be forgiven. It's all taken care of on the cross. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me? I'm going to go to my seat, but I'm going to leave y'all with this. When I graduated from high school, Deacon Drayton, I went into the military. I thought I was grown. They sent me some applications for credit cards. I made a mistake because I got me an American Express. watch me, y'all. Watch this. Big shot. I learned Sister Mary Lyle a very valuable lesson. I learned the difference between an amen and a visa. When you got a visa, Larry, there is a limit to how much it covers. And you have to pay it off over time. American Express has no limits. All of y'all. But they want full payment. Every month. Get this. Visa has a limit and takes some time. American Express will cover everything. But it must be paid all at once.
All at once.
Visa says, I can only handle so much of what you buy. And it will take me some time to get it paid off. American Express says, what? I'm going somewhere. No matter what the cost, I got it covered. And I pay for it all at once. But let me tell y'all about the cross. The cross is no Visa theology. The cross is American Express theology. That no matter what my sin, no matter what my faults, no matter what my failures, it's coming and Jesus done paid it off. Jesus paid it off. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but his blood has washed me white as snow. Jesus said, I got a limited grace and mercy. I don't care what you did, how many times you did it. I got you covered, Jesus said. And guess what? I'm doing an extra benefit. You don't have to pay it, because I paid it all. Bless you. Keep you. This is my